Hey, Urban Spinsters, it's Sadia Sanders of UrbanSpinster.com, where we are creating our own agenda, dispelling societal myths, and redefining the word spinster. Well, I am again coming to you from LA traffic, and I haven't recorded in a minute because I have been preparing to move. So I sold one house and bought another, and people say bought, but really it's mortgage because it wasn't like I paid cash for it. So a previous episode, I had a guest on, Larry Baxter, credit repair specialist, and we were talking about why people choose to rent versus own or buy. And there are a lot of things that came up in that conversation. So if you have not listened to it, you can go back and listen now. But one of the reasons I'm feeling at this point that people don't want to be bothered with owning or attempting to own is because it's the process. It's just so stressful. And you have to, especially as a single woman, you have to constantly be on your guard because just the shenanigans are coming at you from left and right. And what I mean by that is, you know, the realtors, they are operating on commission. So typically they are sharing a 6% commission with the other realtor. So if you're buying a property and the seller of the other property that you are going to buy, they have a realtor, your realtor that you're working with, they're splitting a 6% commission. So three and three for a total of six. So of course they want to get their commission as high as possible. So sometimes people will try to talk you into getting a property for a price that is beyond your budget because they're trying to make their commission. They don't care whether you can pay the mortgage or not, or you know, if you get put out because you can't make the payments on time or what have you. They're only concerned about them. And they may start out seemingly for you and wanting to make sure that you're satisfied with your purchase or the types of properties that they're showing you. But at the end of the day, they're trying to get paid. And the longer you take, the pickier you are, the less patience they start to have with you. And I'm a very picky person. And you should be. This is a huge purchase. So you should get as close to what you want within your budget as you can. And if you're like me, I have a budget. I don't have this limitless amount of money to spend every month on a mortgage. If I had limitless amounts of money, I wouldn't have a mortgage. I'd just buy the property outright and be done with it and just pay the property taxes. But you got to consider, you have to pay property taxes. You have to actually move. So your cost of moving, whether that's hiring a moving company, your new utilities that you'll have to get turned on, your supplemental property taxes that you have to pay, which is the difference between what the previous owner of the property paid and what you will pay. And in California, they usually estimate maybe 1% of the sales price. And the difference is calculated by, okay, if the previous owner, they bought their property at $300,000 and now 15 years later, you're buying it and it's $600,000. You know, they calculate the difference of that and then you get this one bill that you have to pay. That is then on top of what you will pay twice a year. Again, California, LA County. We get our tax bill and then we can break it up in two payments. But that supplemental tax payment is a one-time thing that is assessed to you for the difference between what the previous person paid and what you're going to pay. So you have to account for that money as well. So in my case, I was selling a home and I was using those proceeds to put down payment on the new place. So everything hinged upon me getting a buyer for my house. And that in itself took a long time. People would looky-loo, they would come by, they'd say they were going to put an offer and not do so. One family put in an offer and I really knew they were not going to go forward with it because it was too many of them for for my little house. I was in a 2-bedroom, 1-bathroom house. Nice size front yard, backyard. But this was a family, it seemed like, of damn 6 people. Mom, dad, and kids. So I'm just like, okay, unless you're going to come over here and start building, you are not going to be comfortable for too long. You can thug it out for a minute, but this ain't going to last. And, of course, like I thought, they pulled out. Plus, I was in the city of Compton, and Compton is notorious for their horrible building and safety department. City government is a mess. That is not a secret. And that is why Compton is a mess. It's because of the city government and their foolery and people coming into the city in these positions and basically stealing money from the residents, not providing the services that we pay for. And it just trickles down into why people move or businesses do not elect to come to Compton, because the city just puts you through a whole bunch of mess. This bitch just ran a damn stop sign. You will probably hear me randomly going off on people during this drive. But anyway, so me getting a buyer took a long time. So when I finally did get a buyer, then I could look for a property for me. Because again, I needed the money from the sale of my house to even get into another one. So it made no sense for me to start looking and putting in offers for me when I didn't have a buyer. So finally getting one around June, I started looking, wasn't finding what I liked, found something that I was like, I wasn't thrilled about it, but it'll do, you know. But again, going back to our previous podcast episode with you buying a home, you need to ensure that you are comfortable living there at least 10 years, because you never know what is going to happen with this market. It goes up and down. So you cannot have the mindset like I did when I bought my first home that, I'll just be here a couple of years, gain some equity, I'll sell it, and I'll move on. Even if it's your first home, be sure that not only is it within your budget, but you can live there comfortably for at least 10 years, because you may not be able to get out of it if the market falls and you are upside down, meaning you owe more on the house than it is then worth. Because market crashes and your house that you bought at $300,000 is now worth $160,000. You can't, what are you going to sell it for? You'll still owe the bank money. So you just have to keep it or walk away from it and ruin your credit, which is what you don't want to do. So just keep those things in mind. So anyway, this one property, I was like, I can do it. There were some things I didn't like, but you always have an inspection when you're purchasing. So you pay for your own inspection. That's another cost that you have to keep in mind. So you hire your own inspector, home inspector. They find what they find. They write up a report, and you decide if you want to move forward. Or if you want to go back to the seller and say, hey, I want the property. However, these are some things that I want you to fix. And either they'll say yes or no. Now, in my case, my realtor kept insisting, which was false, which again goes back to you got to be on your guard at all times, unfortunately. He kept telling me that anything that was a safety hazard on the inspection report, meaning electrical issues, plumbing issues, by law had to be repaired by the seller if they wanted to move forward with your deal. And that is not true, I found out. I wound up backing out of that property anyway, but at the time, you know, if someone, this is a red flag, okay? So write this down. This is a red flag when you are buying a house. If you make an offer and the seller immediately counteroffers and says what they're not gonna do, then walk away. Don't even move forward with putting the deposit down and all this crap. Because these people came back immediately and said, okay, we'll accept your offer, but we're not fixing anything. Now, they did that because, I believe, I offered less than their listing price, but this house had been on the market for a long time. So I felt like I could offer less because they had already come down quite a bit And it seemed like they just wanted to be done with it at this point. So they accepted my lower bid. However, they were not willing to fix anything. So still have your inspection done, so you know what's what. Because even if that person, that seller, doesn't fix anything and it's on you to do so, you got to know what you're looking at. Because everything costs money. If you got to fix plumbing and electrical, those are high ticket items. And you're in a new place with a new mortgage. That's just a lot. So you can always get an inspection just so you know what's what. So there were items that my realtor kept saying, oh, they have to fix this and this and that, because this is, you know, safety issues and whatnot. Okay, so we countered their counter and said, okay, these are the repair items that were found during the inspection. So we want them fixed. Okay, so my realtor kept leaving off items. It's like he was scared to tell them what I wanted for fear that they were going to then say, well, you know what, never mind, this is too much. Again, commission. He's thinking about his money. So he doesn't want to scare them off from doing this deal. However, I got to worry about me. And me being in that house with plumbing issues or electrical issues or what have you. So let's just say there are three items that needed to be addressed. He would only put two of them, or one of them at first, on the repair list that went back to the seller to say, hey, we want this fixed to move forward. So I have to sign off on everything. So he would send it to me first. And I was like, you didn't include all the items that the inspector found. He said this, this, and this. So then he'd go back, make a correction. Still wasn't right. He was still leaving off stuff. So that's why I say I feel like he was trying not to put too much on, because they said from the gate they wasn't going to fix nothing. And then here we are talking about you need to fix X, Y, and Z. So he was scared they were going to pull out of the deal. That's my opinion. So what they did say was, okay, well, we're not going to give her any money to fix these things. We'll fix them ourselves. Well, I didn't trust that, because they did very Mickey Mouse job on the things that were renovated in that home. What I'm finding now, especially if you look at TV reality shows, you see all these flips. Flip this house. Flip a flop. Flip, flop, flip, flop. All this flip crap. Okay, well, what they're doing with these flips is they are not using quality products. So, or they're not doing the job the best way. Meaning, this particular house, for example, in one of the restrooms, you stepped down on the floor near the toilet and the floor was moving. Your floor shouldn't move. Your tile should not move. So that was an issue, because yeah, it looked nice on the surface, but what they didn't do, and they, I guess, didn't want to pay the expense of, they didn't put what's called breaker board in between the tile and the beams of the floor, the wood floor underneath. You're supposed to have, I think it's backer board, if I'm not mistaken. You're supposed to have this stuff in between to serve as a cushion, and that was not there. And the reason I know that is because not only did I have an inspection, but I also sent my personal handyman and my personal electrician to the property to have them look at it, because my realtor was dancing around these repairs. I'm like, you know what? I'm going to send my people over there that I use all the time and have them look at the property, because it was vacant. So we were able to do that. And it's best if you can get a vacant property so you can really see what's going on. Because when people got furniture and all kind of other crap covering up stuff, carpet or what have you, it's harder to see. So my electrician went over and found all these items that the inspector found. However, he didn't go into a lot of detail because he's not an electrician. So my electrician finds all these things that are not up to code per the guidelines for Los Angeles County. And he even cited the actual pages, like printed the pages out of where these things could be found. You're supposed to have this grounded and that GFI, blah, 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 whatever. My handyman, like I said, found that the floor wasn't done properly. And those were things that either they were going to fix or they needed to give me money to do. I didn't trust them to do it because this is the type of job that they had done in the first place. So I walked away from that deal ultimately. But that meant canceling escrow, because in order to even open up escrow, meaning you're starting the process of getting your loan in place and the clock starts ticking on when you're going to close and get your keys and all that stuff, you have to put down a deposit. So I had put down a sizable deposit, and we're talking about like $5,000. So again, you gotta got money for that. So you need to be saving if you want to buy some property. So I put down the $5,000. I wound up getting the $5,000 back. And usually when you open up escrow and you have to put your deposit down, it is via wire transfer, which is $30 fee. So I didn't want them to wire my money back to me, because then that would have been $30 more. So I was like, I will go pick my money up. So that's something else you got to do. So I mean, it's just a lot. And that's just my end of me trying to find a home. My buyers for the property I had already owned or was living in, again, mortgaged, they were having their own issues because they were first-time buyers. They were going through a program. There are certain things that these first-time buyer programs want you to provide. There's time frames that you have to follow, because this money a lot of time is grant funded. So the funds have to be used by a certain amount of time. So I'm trying to hurry up and find something so that they can keep their money going so they can buy my house. So it's a lot of moving parts. It's a lot of you having to be on your toes. Again, dealing with Compton. Compton requires a pre-sale inspection is what they call it. And not all cities require this, but Compton does, meaning they want to come over and see if you've gotten X, Y, and Z permitted, if you've done any work to the property while you've owned it. And if you don't have permits, they will not allow your sale to go through. So when you're doing work on your house, you got to make sure you know what the city is requiring. Now, in my case, there were a lot of permits pulled for renovations I did. However, my new windows that I had gotten back in 2006 or whenever it was, Home Depot did not pull a permit. Now, I went through Home Depot. I didn't go through a handyman. So Home Depot is a corporation. They should know what they need per city that they're doing jobs in. But for whatever reason, either they didn't pull the permit, or they did, they couldn't find it, whatever. Because that's one of the items that the city cited I needed to have. I also had to have a foot release for the bars on one of the bedroom windows for safety in case of fire. Now, there was an old school release, but it had to be this specific type of release. So then I had to pay to get that done. The buyers, you can sign an as-is waiver, saying I will take the property in its current condition. However, what that means to you as a buyer, if you do that, if the city is requiring you to make good on some permits, you still have to do it. So you're accepting as is, is just hurry up and close the escrow and get your keys and move in. But you're going to be responsible for getting those items fixed if you live in that type of city, or you're buying in that type of city where they're requiring a pre-sale inspection and they're making you fix this, this, and that in order to close escrow. They'll let you close if the buyer signs as is. But if you then want to sell the property later on, these things are still lingering. So you have to get those things done. Now, I didn't know that because nobody comes back in Compton. Anyway, they'll cite you and they charge you to come out. So it's like $129 for the inspection. If you decide you're going to go ahead and fix these things, get permits, whatever, for them to come back to clear you, that's $75. If you sign as is, then you as the seller don't have to worry about them coming back. That's on the new owner to do. But that's something that's got to be done. So it's a lot. It's very stressful. I'd say it's worth it You have to look at the big picture, but you have got to make sure you have resources available for all these little incidental things that come up. Also, what my buyers were not understanding as new homeowners, this bus is right next to me, is that there is a way you can get your interest rate lower from your lender, meaning your bank. So if your interest rate, they're offering like, you know, 3.8, but you have the opportunity to get 3.5, that means your payment is going to be lower. So of course people want a lower interest rate. However, in order for you to do that, you have to do what's called buy down the points. So you can buy down from 3.8 to 3.5, but it costs money to do that. So what my buyers didn't understand was that the money that they put down to deposit to open up escrow and everything, given their program, they were supposed to get their deposit refunded. I think when we closed or whatever, that was part of the program. They would get those funds returned. However, when buying down points, you're using that money or whatever money you have to do so. So when it came time to close and they saw they weren't getting any refund, it was like, well, where's my money? Okay, well, you wanted this interest rate, so it cost you. That's where your money went. So they refused to sign the closing documents. That put us further behind. Now, mind you, I am changing lenders myself because I found my credit union had a way better interest rate than the mortgage broker that I was originally using, and she could not match it. So I started my process over for my loan approval because I want my payment lower. So that was holding up us closing as well. Well, I got to the point where I surpassed my buyers. I was ready, but then they had issues with their documents, didn't like what they were seeing. So it was a lot of hold up. I was paying a per diem per day for our escrow not closing because I switched lenders, and that whole process of me getting approved again, having to get an appraisal of the property again, because when you switch banks, one bank doesn't want to use the other bank's information. So you have to basically start your loan process all over. And my sellers were moving out and they wanted their money. So I said, okay, well, we ain't closing by the date we said originally, then you're going to have to pay, I think it was $80 a day. So what do you do? You know, if you want the property, but you want to make sure your rate is right, your payment is right for your budget, then you're like, okay, well, I'll pay the $80 a day if you have it. So I was doing that, meaning, now it wasn't coming out of my pocket every day. It was going to come out of the proceeds from the sale of my house. So everything was coming out like doing or going through escrow. It wasn't like you're paying this money via check or credit card or cash or anything like that. Now, if you didn't have a property to sell, then I don't know how they would do that. I don't know if you'd have to write a check at some point or what. But in my case, I had money kind of hanging out there that they could draw from at the end. So I'm paying this every day. So it's racking up. So it's just accumulating. And then when my buyers didn't close on time, that's more days that, you know, I'm paying this money. So this is, you know, wound up being like close to $2,000. And again, it came out the proceeds of my home sale. So, but would I not want $2,000 in my pocket? Hell yeah. So that's what I mean. It's a lot. It is a lot. And then you got to move and you got to pack and unpack. I'm still unpacking, trying to figure out where I want to put things. You want to, you know, organize your house the way you want to, or like the bedrooms in this current house. I don't know why. It's a newer home. The builders did not put any ceiling lights in any of the bedrooms. There's recessed light everywhere else, but in the bedrooms, there's no light in the ceiling. So you have to plug in lamps. So I want to correct that, at least in my office at first, because if you watched me on Homemade Simple, on OWN, they gave me a really nice chandelier light for my office space. So I took that with me and I want to put it up. But that means now I got to have an electrician cut a hole and all this crap. So that is pending. And then, you know, just owning a home, you're always going to have something that you're doing. Of course, I got an alarm system because it didn't have one before. You got to deal with, okay, are you going to get a gardener? Are you going to try to do your own gardening? I'm in an HOA now, Homeowners Association. I'm in a gated community, so you got to deal with them. You got to pay them every month because they provide different services like a security guard in the evening. They keep the grounds up. There's a nice little park within the community, a little dog walk and all that. All that stuff's got to be kept up, so you're paying for that. So that's why you got to have your budget right. And you can do it. Obviously, I'm doing it as a single person, but you got to keep your guards up. If something don't sound right that your realtor is saying or that your loan person is saying, question everything. I wound up paying way more money for this home because my realtor talked me into bidding high, thinking that the appraisal would take care of the actual price. So meaning when you're applying for a loan, you have to get an appraisal of the property. What is it really worth? So there are these appraisers that's their job. They go out and assess the property's value. And although you might bid one thing, the property's value really could be less. So it's a game that you can play, but there's no guarantee that appraisal is going to come in any lower than what you offer. So whatever you offer, you better be prepared to pay because it could appraise for that, given the area and what has sold in the area. They do what's called comparables. So what sold, in my case, inside the gated community was down the street, around the corner, all of that is taken into consideration. So don't let anyone talk you into bidding high just so that you can get the property, because in LA, housing is scarce. Good housing, especially, you know, something that's nice and clean and somewhat safe, is very scarce. So people are chomping at the bit to get property. So that's one of the tactics they use, is they bid real high to get the seller to accept their offer. And then they say, okay, well, it's contingent upon the appraisal. And then they hope the appraisal will come in lower. But in my case, it did not. Now, it's a good thing on one hand, because that means I have value in that area. The area is going up, and that's all cool and everything. That's cute. But I got to pay this bill every month. Okay? So the more money you put down, of course, the less your payment will be. The lower your interest rate, the less your payment will be. You have to have good credit in order to get the rates you want. That's the key to everything. You got to have that credit straight, and you got to have your money straight in order to be able to ask for more, in order to buy down interest rate points and all that kind of stuff. Everything is based on your credit. So make sure your credit is at least decent. If you're a first-time buyer, there's always programs. If you're a realtor, if you don't know a mortgage broker, your realtor can guide you. However, I would still, if you belong to a bank, get with a credit union. I do not deal with banks, like major banks, B of A, Wells Fargo, Union Bank, all that kind of stuff, as far as my personal accounts. Get your personal accounts in a credit union. Gone are the days where you had to work for a specific place in order to get in. Anybody can join a credit union nowadays. And if you know somebody that can refer you, they probably will get a little money. My credit union gives me like $50 if somebody I know opens an account with them. But they offer lower interest rates on everything. Cars, homes, personal loans, everything. Credit cards are lower. So, watch the news. When I saw that the rates were dropping, but my mortgage broker was still giving me quotes as far as what my payment was going to be based on like 4.1. And I'm like, wait a minute, the interest rate on the news says dropping, it's 3.9 or 3.8 or whatever it was at that particular time. And she said, well, is there a specific bank where you saw this rate? So I said, you know what, let me check my credit union. Lo and behold, way lower than what she could offer. And I bought down points. So I'm at a 3.25 interest rate where she was giving me like 4.1 and the best she could do was like 3.8. Also, then there are programs where you can get, it doesn't matter if you're a first time buyer or not, you can get a bomb interest rate, but it will take a long time. And I didn't have the time, meaning, you know, for you to qualify, because you got to give them all your information, all that stuff. And these programs are funded, grant funded. So, and there are a lot of people who want them. So they may take a very long time to process. And I just didn't have that time. So I went with my credit union versus the bank that was offering that other interest rate. But I still got what I wanted as far as that is concerned in the end. So going from buying a home 15 years ago to now, you forget what you have to go through. And in this case, I was selling and buying. Before, I was just buying, which is a lot easier, a lot less stressful, because all you worried about is you and what you're doing. You ain't worried about, you know, the money coming from somewhere else and what that person is doing and what they got going on. So it's worth it in the end, but it is a lot. You need to be mentally prepared. You need to pray before you start a relationship with a realtor. I would say don't use family, because you might hate this person at the end of the process, depending on, you know, how they do you. So I would not use friends or family, because it could probably end your relationship if things don't go well. Get someone who is a neutral party. Plus, when that happens and they're not friends or family and it's just business, you treat them as such. And when you want something, that's what you want, and you know they're getting a commission, and you're gonna ask for what you want. You ain't worried about hurting their feelings or how they feel about you or whatever. You want this money, you need to do what I'm asking you to do. And when it's someone that you care about, you might dance around it a little bit more because you're worried about the relationship and their feelings. All right, so that's what I wanted to come with today. I have a lot more detail that I could get into, but I won't at this particular time. So make sure you are following me on all social media at Urban Spinster XO, Facebook, Twitter, IG. Make sure you are subscribing to the podcast. You can listen to this podcast anywhere podcasts are played. I don't know if I'm on SoundCloud, but I'm on everywhere else for sure. And check out my website, urbanspinster.com, where you can get the Single Woman's Agenda guided journals. If you would like to join my private group, then you have to sign up on urbanspinster.com so that you can receive the invitation for the private group. All right, so hope you have a great evening. I will talk to you guys soon.